was also in light gray, skillfully cut to conceal his spreading waist and stubby legs. He had the puffy eyes of a regular and long-time drinker. The hands that gestured from behind the reading stand were soft and white, with manicured nails. Ryan immediately disliked and distrusted the man.
My dear, dear friends, welcome to our little morning get-together. Blessed is the worm.
And blessed are the scales thereof.
Jack was sitting to Ryan's right.
We fucked if they find we chilled their double best guard, huh?
Huh.
Ryan nodded. There hadn't been any choice in chilling the giant muty rattler, but that might not go down well if anyone in Snakefish found out about it. Moat continued to smile around, rubbing his hands together in an odd washing motion. Ryan heard Doc whispering something about the perfumes of Arabia, but he didn't get the reference.
We have new brothers and sisters to welcome to our humble gathering. I will ask them to introduce themselves to us one by one. Perhaps, Mr. Carter, you would care to begin to do the honors for us?
Sure, Reverend. The name's Ryan Carter, and I'd like to thank the kindly Vill of Snakefish for helping me and my friends.
I'm Christy Roth, and I'd like to back up what Ryan said. Thanks.
Norman Moat held up an imperious hand.
Such thanks do you credit, but there are those in the Vill who think that generosity begins at home. Too much kindness to those from outside means less wealth for those within Snakefish.
Yeah, wealth isn't all. Some say.
My wife is right. Thank you, Marianne.
The co-guardian of the temple was short, struggling to make 4'10". Marianne was also struggling, by the look of her, to keep her waist down under 40 inches. She wore very heavy makeup, which made her look like an aging gaudy queen. She was dressed in a loose rustling gown of what was either snakeskin or a very clever imitation of it, and her belt was silver, like the collar that Ryan remembered all too clearly from around the throat of Azrael. She wore shoes with totteringly high heels. The piled-up hair was of a shimmering blonde color, obviously a wig. Marianne Moat was one of the finest bits of mutton dressed as lamb that Ryan had ever seen. Her eyes had the flat and curious dullness of a killer shark. Norman turned to her and gave a slight bow, moving to face the congregation once more.
I must apologize to everyone here in the name of the Great Worm for the interruptions. Pray carry on introducing yourselves, Outlanders.
John Dix. Good to be here.
Jack Lauren. Same.
Richard Neal Ginsburg. I'd like to say that I appreciate the kindness shown to me personally. Good to see strangers treated so well. Thank you.
Lori Quint.
Theophilus Algernon Tanner.
Doc bowed deeply to everyone around him and glanced up at the people in the balconies.
I have been to a lot of places and seen a lot of things, which is better than seeing a lot of places and being a lot of things, I guess. Not accustomed to my kind of humor, I see. Well, let it pass. So it goes. I'll simply add my own gratitude to those of you who've been kind to us.
He sat down, and Norman Moat nodded approvingly.
We thank you all, brothers and sisters. We trust that in the days to come, you'll all find some way of putting back into Snakefish what you're taking out.
Most generous little Vill in the West.
The service was complex and long. There were innumerable readings and prayers, not all of them centering on snakes, but most of them did. Some of the religious elements were more traditional, with hymns that were more recognizable. But again and again, either Norman or Marianne Moat returned to the reptilian theme, coiling, striking, and crushing. Their son Joshua preached a short sermon, which he read with stumbling difficulty from a series of large cue cards. He was in his early 20s, had sagging, unhealthy skin and puffy eyes, and wore a shirt of pale blue silk and a neck thong holding a large polished nugget of turquoise. He was barefooted. Blonde curls peeked out from under the brim of a black Stetson-style hat. His voice was faltering and high-pitched. His reading was a supposed parable about a family who owned a lot of wheat, but gave so much away that they began to run short and suffer themselves for their generosity.
For wheat, read oil, I guess.
You got that right.
Swiftly becoming obvious was the extent to which the Vill was divided. Baron Brennan had seemed a friendly and generous old man, but the roots of a long-buried bitterness were becoming exposed, and it was also becoming clear that the Baron's hold on the power in Snakefish was as nebulous as the dew upon a summer pasture. Joshua finished his reading and sat down again on his chair.
Before our final prayer for the morning, I shall give out one or two important notices.
Ryan saw that there was a strip of wooden carving above the stage. The lettering, deeply incised and in shadow, was difficult to read. By putting his head on one side, he was able to decipher it. The Ophidian way is the true way.
What's Ophidian, Doc?
It means having to do with snakes. From Ophis, a snake in Greek.
Please refrain from talking during services, Brother Ryan.
Sorry, Brother Norman.
The notices. Sister Laurentia is holding a clam bake on Thursday next. 3 p.m, is it not, Sister? I see her nodding in the balcony there. Praise the worm, Sister.
Amen.
Oh, some bad news here. Zombie has reported to me that the base on the fringes of Death Valley has been raided twice more by Stickies. I shall be talking to Baron Edgar to find out what he intends to do about this further incursion to our gas supply.
Ryan was able to see that Edgar Brennan was talking animatedly to Carla Peterson and to his nephew Layton.
Go chill, the coil-bound muty bastards!
Amen. Amen to that, Brother Dern.
Moat lifted his hands for quiet.
One more thing. At feeding last night, there was no sign of our beloved Asriel. Belial and the others came to the call, but not Prince Asriel himself.
Could be shedding, Pa.
No, Apostolic Apprentice Joshua, no. It is the wrong time for Asriel to shed. No, it has happened before that he has missed a feeding.
Maybe caught him a juicy sticky.
Maybe, my dearest, maybe that. Anyway, I'd like eyes and ears kept open for any news of Asriel 12. That's all. We'll end on our usual prayer, brothers and sisters. Let us pray.
There was a series of patterned responses, similar to those that had opened the service. A final swelling amen, and it was time to leave. As they filed out, there was a double line of the last heroes, standing so casually out in the bright morning sunshine. Zombie caught Ryan's eye.
Reverend Moe would like a word, brother. His room at the back.
I'd like to go and see him. Be out soon, people. Wait for me.
Zombie walked through the empty church, escorted by Riddler and Dick the Hat. Ryan strolled at his elbow, deliberately taking his time.
Come on in. Zombie, you wait in here. Other two outside the door. Don't want to be interrupted till I say so.
The Moat family was relaxing in a suite of elegant rooms behind the temple. Norman was smoking a large cigar, feet resting on a table. Joshua was picking his nose and thumbing through a crudely colored porn mag. Marianne had changed into a loose gown of chem-cloud pink chiffon that swirled loosely about her as she moved. Ryan couldn't help noticing that she hadn't been very careful about the fastening, and had kept swinging open to show the top of her thighs. The Reverend Mother looked like she didn't believe in wearing panties.
Nice church. Good number of the folk of Snakefish there.
Break their pissant knees if they didn't come.
Now, Joshua. Boy, we'll have his joke, Ryan. You understand that? You got any children of your own?
Ryan was taken off guard by the question. It had been such a long time since anyone had asked him that. Oddly, Christy had never asked him. She'd talked about their future together, even kind of